Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning. Wednesday, April the 24th, 2024, 4:24:24, 15 minutes past the hour, 47 degrees and mostly sunny skies in this area. We're going to kick off the morning this morning with one of my favorite guests talking about a very serious subject here in Ohio that has been going on for quite some time, but recently has gotten a few new ripples that are making it more interesting as time goes on, certainly in this election year. Now, we've heard an awful lot in recent years about the first energy scandal. Now, I just kind of want to glaze over this for people who don't really understand what happened here, because it's called the biggest public corruption scandal in Ohio's history. Essentially, what is happening here is state and federal officials have accused the company, an Ohio-based electric utility that serves 6 million customers, of paying state lawmakers and regulators millions of dollars in exchange for subsidies and other favorable treatment. And also, there were price hikes involved in this as well. Now, the big question has been, what did Governor DeWine know? When did he know it? What did other officials know? When did they know it? Certainly a former Ohio Speaker of the House was tied up in this, and a former chairman of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, Sam Randazzo, was tied up in this, and recently, within the last 2.5 weeks, Mr. Randazzo committed suicide. And that kind of leaves us at a standstill in this particular case. But when did people know what they knew, and who knew what they knew? And with the loss of Sam Randazzo, where does it leave this particular case? Nobody better to turn to than somebody who has been in the high position in this state, who has dealt with a lot of these people for different reasons, but certainly understands what's going on here. Always a great guest on this program, and he's with us for the first hour this morning to sort a lot of this out, and maybe some other things if we get through this. The 68th governor of the great state of Ohio, Ted Strickland. Governor Strickland, how are you?
Well, Scott, I am fine, and I hope you and all of your listeners are well and happy and healthy on this beautiful spring day in Ohio.
Yep. To you as well. Now, Governor Strickland, when I talk to people about First Energy, one of the things I always hear is, I don't really understand what that's about. I tried to tin type it there at the top of the program. How would you describe what happened here to people who don't fully understand it?
Well, Scott, in some ways it's complex. In other ways, it's easily understood. What we have is the First Energy Corporation wanting a $1 billion bailout from the taxpayers of Ohio, their nuclear plants, and to provide subsidies for two coal-fired power plants, one of which is located in Indiana. And so they set about creating a situation where the power is built up. And that's where it gets a little want to enlist the support of the hope to be Speaker of the House, Larry Householder, and so they poured lots of money into electing people to the state house who would be friendly to their calls. They put, I'm looking at it right now on the front page of the Columbus Dispatch this morning. They put $2.5 million into electing Mike DeWine governor, although he says he didn't know how much they had given, but $2.5 million is a lot of money. So boil it all down, a corporation in need of taxpayer bailout put money into legislators getting their friends elected and then getting them to pass legislation that would provide this bill in Ohio history in terms of public corruption. And it has led to multiple people being indicted. Some of them have been tried and sentenced. Larry Householder, the former Speaker of the House, is serving a 20-year prison sentence. Two individuals associated with this scandal facing charges have committed suicide. And yet, not everyone has been held accountable. I'm convinced there are people in state government and in legislative offices who were engaged in this shenanigans who have yet to be held accountable.
You know, Governor Strickland, it's very interesting. We don't buy dollars to your campaign, a massive amount of money, and an appointment to the head of the PUCO comes out of it from that office, from that campaign. Is it possible to just not know?
Well, you know, they were very wise. First Energy could not just give $2.5 billion to Mike DeWine's campaign directly. That would have been a huge violation of campaign finance law. But what they did, they gave it to the Republican Governors Association. And that organization, in turn, then spent that money on commercials, TV ads, and mailings, and so on, to help elect Governor DeWine. So it went to his benefit. Let me give you an example. When I was in office, Les Wexner is a big influence politically and economically in Ohio. Everyone knows that. He's the richest man in Ohio, I believe, multi-billionaire. When I was governor, he came to the governor's residence one day, and I was running against Kasich, John Kasich, and Les Wexner said, "I'm here to tell you, Governor, that I'm not going to give money to you or to John Kasich, either one." Well, he must have thought I was a fool, because although he did not give money directly to either one of us, he gave large sums of money to the Republican Governors Association, and they in turn put that money into John Kasich's efforts to win the governorship. That's just an example of how this stuff sometimes works. You may never know where some of this money is coming from. And as a result of the Supreme Court's decision years ago, dark money groups that can put money into political campaigns can remain anonymous. And so the public never knows where the money's coming from. And, you know, and that's a corruption of our legislative democratic process, in my mind. But under current law, it's legal. Now, in regard to this particular scandal, and it is a scandal, there are some questions that need to be answered. And so I begin with the fact that Governor DeWine's chief of staff, Laura Dawson, whose husband, Mike Dawson, worked for First Energy, apparently had knowledge that First Energy had bribed Randazzo with over $4 million. She apparently knew that, but she says she never told the governor before the governor appointed Randazzo to the position of chair of the Public Utilities Commission. And my question is, why didn't she tell him? And the second question is, if she didn't tell him, why is she still working for the governor if she kept such vital information away from him?
Well, that's an interesting point, and I want to lay this out here for the audience, because this is a very important fact. A few weeks before all of this goes down in 2019, on December 18th, 2018, Governor-elect DeWine and Lieutenant Governor-elect John Husted had dinner at the Columbus Athletic Club with First Energy CEO Chuck Jones and Vice President Michael Dowling. At the dinner, they discussed whether Randazzo would be acceptable to head up the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, the agency that was supposed to regulate the executive's utility, according to a state indictment of Randazzo, Jones, and Dowling that was filed in February. After the dinner, the First Energy executives drove about a mile to Randazzo's condo and negotiated a $4.3 million payment to Randazzo, the indictment said. First Energy later said the payment was a bribe in a deferred prosecution agreement with the U.S. Justice Department. So this happens right after a dinner, and literally miles within this dinner, from this dinner, with the governor-elect and the lieutenant governor-elect. But yet, they don't know anything.
Yes, and that seems almost unbelievable to me. Having been in public life, having been the governor of Ohio, that could never have happened in my administration. And if my staff people had kept such vital information from me, they would have been gone. It's just difficult to believe, is it not?
Well, there's a quote in here, and I want to get this out, because this is maybe is the most difficult thing to believe, because we do know that Laurel Dawson now did know about this and has said that Randazzo told, and this is a quote, the governor-elect through his incoming chief of staff that he had received, and he gave the exact amount, $4.3 million from First Energy, which he claimed was final payment of a consulting agreement. Now, that's from Randazzo's indictment. But she knew about it, and yet doesn't tell the governor, and apparently is still there.
Well, she's currently an advisor to the governor. Absolutely. Now, Scott, this is an example of putting a fox in the hen house. The Public Utilities Commission of Ohio is supposed to protect Ohio consumers through the regulation of these utility companies. And to take a former lobbyist who was accused before his suicide of accepting a bribe from First Energy, taking that person and making him the chairperson of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, that's
Governor, are you still there? Hello, Governor? Nope, I think we might have lost the governor. Hopefully we'll get him back here momentarily. But this is a very interesting case. And a lot of these questions will have to be answered as time goes on. And there is a lot of stuff in here, certainly since the suicide of Mr. Randazzo, which happened earlier this month. And there are a lot of questions about that, and a lot of people asking questions about that. And I think one of the big questions is, where do we go from here when it comes to all of this? Because the questions are still being asked of Governor DeWine. And certainly, former Speaker of the House Householder has paid a price in this particular scandal. So I'm not exactly sure, at the end of the day, where this will all end up. But it definitely is something that people should, and I think, will be taking a look at as time goes on. Let's make sure we still have the phones here. We do. So hopefully we hear back from Governor Strickland here momentarily, because I think this is a very important issue to go over as time goes on. Okay, Governor Strickland, I think we got you back here.
Hey, Scott, I lost you.
Yeah, we're back. We're good. I want to pick...
Hello?
All right, can you hear me, Governor Strickland?
I can. Something happened.
Yeah, I
lost you.
Yeah, I think we just dropped out there for a second, but I want to pick this back up because you said when Mr. Wexner came to you years ago when you were running against Governor Kasich, then candidate Kasich, that you knew what he was saying was not exactly on the level as far as money donations went. How?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So he didn't give money directly to either of our campaigns? But he sure gave money to the Republican Governors Association knowing that that money would go to John Kasich. And I think that's the kind of thing that happens all the time, and I think it's what happened here in this large donation to Mike DeWine. First Energy gave money to the Republican Governors Association, and they in turn used it to promote Governor DeWine's campaign.
So on that particular note, you knew what was going on as governor. You knew that what he said wasn't exactly on the level. How did Governor DeWine, who certainly was not new to the political world, not understand that something like this could be going on? And just to get it on the record here, and this is within the last few hours, Governor Mike DeWine said he didn't know First Energy provided more than $4 million in dark money to nonprofit entities backing the campaigns of he and Lieutenant Governor John Husted. He also said he didn't remember meeting with First Energy lobbyists at a 2018 fundraiser, which took place one day before the company provided the Republican Governors Association with a $500,000 transfer. He doesn't remember.
Yes, just think about that. Now, Scott, let me be clear. I don't want to accuse the governor of illegal behavior. Neither do I want to accuse the lieutenant governor, John Husted, of illegal behavior. But what I'm saying is that their explanations for what happened here doesn't hold water. I think there needs to be more transparency and more coming to terms with what's happened here and their potential responsibility for what's happened here. I mean, think about it. Two suicides associated with this scandal. A Speaker of the House in prison for 20 years. A chief executive of First Energy being dismissed from his position and the company admitting that that they engaged in bribery. I mean, this is a huge scandal, and it's still going on. Part of that that legislation has been repealed, but part of it remains in place. And Ohio taxpayers are this very day being called upon to put money into these two coal-fired power plants that was a part of that legislation. Why hasn't that bill been completely repealed? It's scandalous. It really is.
You know, the interesting thing here, Laurel Dawson, who was the chief of staff for the incoming governor, DeWine, and his administration at the beginning of 2019, and also, as we pointed out, her husband, Mike Dawson, was a lobbyist for First Energy, knows about this $4.3 million payment to Randazzo before this all happens. Now, she never talks to the governor about this. This is his. This is not like this is an aide down the line. This is his incoming chief of staff, and they never have a warning, a conversation. Hey, this was just divulged to me. In what world would that not happen?
Well, Scott, she was more than just his incoming chief of staff. She had been with him during the years when he was a congressman and when he was in the attorney general. I mean, she had been an employee of his for many, many years. And when the press asked him why she hadn't told him what she knew, he said, "I don't know. You'll have to ask her." He should ask her, and he should let us know what her answer was. And if she wasn't willing to answer that question to him, why is she still working for him? Listen, after a point, I mean, Mike, I've been there. Mike, I'm sorry. Scott, I've been there. I've been there. It's unimaginable that my chief of staff, John Haseley, could have had that kind of vital, important, critical information and not shared it with me. It could never have happened. And I just don't understand. I just don't understand why they aren't more forthcoming with just fessing up and saying what actually happened here.
Well, and that's an interesting point as well, because we can give Governor DeWine the benefit of the doubt here and say, well, maybe she didn't tell him, maybe he didn't know, but he certainly knows now that she knew, and she is working cooperating with state prosecution. But he does know now, and he has given that line about you'll have to ask her, but she's still employed by him. Once you found that out, if you didn't know that, wouldn't that be the end of her position?
Well, I would think so. And Scott, let me just say this. I know Laura Dawson, and I've always, you know, had positive feelings about her. I'm not saying she's a bad person. I'm just saying there needs to be some explanation. You know, people need to be forthcoming, and just if there is an explanation, give it to the public. But the way it is now, the public is left with all of these questions and few answers, and that's not the way it ought to be. There ought to be transparency about what actually happened here, how it happened, who was responsible, and let the chips fall where they may. But Ohio taxpayers, as I said, Mike, they're still paying for this legislation that was passed through this kind of shenanigans. Part of it has been repealed, but part of it hasn't been repealed, and Ohio taxpayers are still paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in subsidies to these power plants. It's just unconscionable, and the average person who's paying their electric bill may not have any idea of why it's costing them so much. But it's because the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, for a time, was headed by a man whose obligation and loyalty was not to the taxpayer, not to the citizen of Ohio, but to this rogue company. I always considered First Energy to be a thuggish company. When I was governor and we passed our very significant energy bill, the First Energy fought me tooth and toenail. The other utility companies were willing to compromise and work with me, but not First Energy. They were, you know, they use money and influence and threats and you know, whatever they had to do to try to get their way, they did. And much of the time, they got their way with the Ohio legislature. And it's so unfortunate because the people of Ohio are the ones who are paying the bill.
You know, it's very interesting, Governor, because the office of Governor Mike DeWine has for months been saying that the connections between the guy he picked to be the state's top regulator, Randazzo, and the utility company at the center of this bribery scandal were well known around Capitol Square when DeWine nominated him in January of 2019. So apparently everybody knows that there were ties even when he nominates him. And then something else that's interesting in this whole thing, Randazzo, now this is a quote coming out of I believe, his indictment, said that the governor-elect, that he was telling the governor-elect through his incoming chief of staff that he had received $4.3 million from First Energy, which he claimed was a final payment of a consulting agreement. Now, that's from the late Sam Randazzo's indictment. Now, maybe he did believe he was telling the governor. That's what he says. He told his chief of staff. But for some reason, according to Governor DeWine and his chief of staff, who is still in working for the administration, that information doesn't get delayed. Is a chief of staff for the governor an arbiter of information that goes to the governor, especially something like this?
Well, a chief of staff is responsible for making sure that the governor is fully informed about everything that is coming before them. And if they aren't committed to doing that, they ought not to be the chief of staff. The chief of staff is, in my judgment, the most important person in the governor's office. And the governor, any governor, all governors, must depend upon their chief of staff to help them do their job. And if there is a lack of communication or withholding of communication, then that's a problem. And I don't know what's happened here, but you know, for the governor to say to the press when he was asked, why didn't she tell you? And for him to say, I don't know, you'll have to ask her. Why isn't he asking her? Or why didn't he ask her? That's a legitimate question. Now, I want to tell you, Mike, you know, and we've talked about this before, I have a lot of positive feelings toward Mike DeWine. I think he's done some really good things, especially when it comes to looking out for children. And, you know, and I'm not a person that beats up on Governor Mike DeWine, because I do think I disagree with him on a lot of things, but I think when it comes to children and families. He's been a good governor. I have questions about the lieutenant governor, John Husted, because in my judgment, John Husted has always had an unhealthy relationship with First Energy. When I was governor, John Husted was always looking out for First Energy interests. And so I don't have the same kind of positive feelings toward the lieutenant governor as I have toward the governor. And as I said, you know, I've known Lauren Dawson. I've always considered her, you know, a fine person. But the people of Ohio deserve some answers, and they aren't getting them. And so I just wish, you know, I just wish that the people of Ohio would be told the complete truth about what's happened here. And as I said, let the chips fall where they may. And that's not happening in Ohio right now.
Well, and a major ripple in this case came earlier this month when Columbus police found the body of Sam Randazzo, age 74, at 11:45 a.m. On a Tuesday morning at a warehouse near the 400 block of East Mound Street. According to the Franklin County Coroner's Office, the agency stated that the former chairman of the PUCO of Ohio died by suicide. What'd you make of this?
Well, I think I felt sad when I read about Sam Randazzo. I didn't know him personally, but for a person to, you know, to take their own life under these circumstances, I think meant that he felt that he was probably facing, if he didn't take his life, he'd go to trial and maybe spend the rest of his life in prison. And he had lived a very privileged life. He was a wealthy man, and to face those prospects, I think. But was he doing it to protect other people? I don't know. There are just so many questions. I mean, it's like a novel that has so many characters, and the novel has yet to be finished. I mean, you know, the feds are still investigating. We don't know who in the future may be indicted, or if anyone, maybe no one will be, but we don't know for sure, because we do know that the investigation is continuing. And, you know, I mean, the second suicide, the former chairman of the Ohio Republican Party is incarcerated. The former Speaker of the House is serving 20 years. I mean, there's and others have pled guilty and tried to, you know, make a deal for themselves. I mean, there was, you know, President Trump talks about the swamp. Well, yeah, this is an example of the political swamp that has surrounded the Ohio State House. And we still don't know all the answers. We still don't know all the players. We don't know all that is yet to come out about this. But the people of Ohio need to wake up and understand that something really wrong has happened and is continuing to happen in the state of Ohio, and so, you know, people will have to make up their minds. But I don't know how things will change unless the voters speak up and say we're sick of this. Scott, if I could just say one more thing here about my own experience, I think Ohio historically and currently is a slightly right of center state politically. You know, we everything being equal, Republicans tend to have a slight advantage in Ohio, although we were considered a swing state until recently. But Ohioans don't like scandals. And as you recall, when I was elected governor by a huge margin, it was following the so-called CoinGate scandal. Remember that? I think people of Ohio, they remember CoinGate. And it was a big scandal, and it enabled me to be elected governor, I think, in large part because the people of Ohio were just sick of scandal, and they wanted a change, and so they were willing to give a Democrat a chance to be governor. And I am so proud that during my 4 years in the governor's office, there were no significant scandals of any kind. I mean, you know, people throwing tobacco over the fence at the governor's residence for the inmates who worked there. I mean, you know, I guess you could consider that a scandal. I certainly didn't see that as a scandal. But we, you know, we had no scandals. Not a single person in my administration was ever accused of using their positions in government to enrich themselves. Not a single person. And so the CoinGate scandal enabled, you know, me to win the governor's office and a lot of other people, Democrats, to win. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 to 4 years, but I think the people of Ohio need to take this scandal seriously. And, you know, there needs to be a house cleaning. And a lot of people who may not be indicted, may never be accused of wrongdoing, I think were complicit in this legislation to bail out this First Energy utility company, including some Democrats, as a matter of fact, are in some degree culpable. I'm not talking illegally, but just in terms of them allowing First Energy to have so much influence at the Capitol, in the State House. No company should have that kind of influence over governmental policy, especially when it comes to something as critical as the Public Utilities Commission and the regulation of the utility companies, which impacts every Ohioan. Every Ohioan pays an electric bill, an energy bill. Every Ohioan. I mean, it's you know, these utilities are massive companies, but that doesn't give them the right to control policy making in the state of Ohio or any state.
You know, Governor, I want to ask about this Randazzo suicide for a second, because one thing this did was certainly made all the newspapers, made all the news broadcasts, made all the radio broadcasts, but it did get people talking. Not that they hadn't been talking about First Energy, but a lot of people haven't paid as close attention. Now, the Randazzo suicide certainly did, and there are a lot of reasons for this. The night before his body was discovered, Randazzo walked less than a mile from his home on South Grant Street to an industrial building he owned at 492 East Mound Street. His wife called a Summit County court employee the next morning when Randazzo was supposed to check in with the court, according to the phone call. She said Randazzo took a walk the night before and hadn't returned. He was wearing his GPS. This is confusing to a lot of people, because here is a man who certainly is at the center of this scandal. He's facing a lot of charges, so much so that he's wearing a GPS. He has to check in, which his wife realizes he isn't going to do because she doesn't know where he is. He had left the night before. The wife doesn't call till the next morning. If your husband doesn't come home that night, you think, before the next morning, you might call somebody. It seems odd, and that's what I've heard from so many people in regard to this. Does it seem odd to you how this all happened?
Well, it seems that seems sad and tragic. What's happened here? For his family, for the people who knew and loved him, and I'm sure he had family members who deeply loved him and cared for him. But I've just been thinking about the level of despair a person would have to feel that would cause them to, to take their own lives like that. And I think you can feel, sad for him and his family at the same time, feel that he needed to be held accountable. He needed to be pursued legally for any wrongdoing. But just think about that. A man who was so powerful, it's just tragic. It is so tragic and tawdry and sad. I'm sure he's taken a lot of secrets to the grave with him. And, maybe that's why he took his own life, to keep some things secret.
Well, we'll
never know all that he knew, certainly. We are talking about the governance and the political leadership of the state of Ohio. Involved in that kind of, I don't know. It's just so sad. And so awful.
Well, Governor,
so unnecessary.
And Governor, and I hate to ask a question like this because but it has been on a lot of people's mind, because as you just said, he might have taken a lot of secrets to the grave, and suicide is what it is, and heaven knows if anybody is contemplating this, please get help. But because he was involved at the center of this, because his name was so closely tied, because we have gotten, as we've talked about this hour, murky answers from certain people in the government about how things happened, a lot of people feel there might be more to this suicide than just a suicide, that if this man went away, a lot of the things that he knew are going to go away as well. People certainly have made that suggestion just because of the timing of this. Do you think there's anything to that?
Well, if you're implying that he may have, not committed suicide, but died as a result of some nefarious behavior on the parts of others, I haven't really thought about that. I don't want to get into a conspiracy speculation here. There's enough conspiracy theories going around this world today. We don't need another one, but I would hope all of those things would be investigated and looked into, and rightfully so, they should be. Anytime there's a suspected suicide, all other possible explanations should be explored and pursued, I think. Are there people who breathed a sigh of relief when Sam Brandazzo left this world? I think that's possible. And that's, God, I hate to say that. I hate to even think that, but, we're talking about, powerful interests, aren't we not? Are we not?
You're listening to the.
So I would hope that every stone is unturned as they look into Sam Randazzo's death, but I would say I have no reason to believe that the initial conclusion that he had committed suicide is not the correct explanation of how he lost his life.
Let me ask you this, Governor, and again, not to be a conspiracy theorist here, because there are enough of those going around these days, but would one of those people, as you say, a lot of people probably breathed a sigh of relief when this happened because of what he might have known and what he might have taken to the grave, would one of those people be Governor DeWine, in your opinion?
You know, I don't know for sure, Scott. I was sort of taken back right after Sam Randazzo's death that, according to the newspaper, when the governor's office was contacted, there was no comment. And I don't know if the governor's office has made a comment since or not. I would think that, I mean, you know, when someone that you've known has taken or lost their life, you would think that you would express some level of concern and sympathy, you know, for them and their family. I mean, even if they had done things that had energy politically and so on and so forth. So I don't know. I don't think, I mean, Governor DeWine is not involved in any nefarious behavior like, you know, taking someone's life or even rejoicing in the loss of a life like that. Governor DeWine, in my judgment, is not that kind of person. There could be others. I'm not saying that there aren't others that would, you know, that would harbor those feelings, but I don't want to let the governor off the hook. I think, you know, when you're in the top jobs, you're responsible regardless of what your employees may or may not do. But ultimately, the buck stops at the top, and so he is responsible when it comes to everything that happens in his administration, just as I was responsible for what happened in my administration. I can understand the public having questions because, I mean, think of this. A scandal that has already resulted in two suicides and powerful people being incarcerated for long periods of time, and others probably walking around on pins and needles wondering if, you know, the next shoe to fall is theirs. It's a scandal of monumental proportions. And I think the people of Ohio, as you say, are becoming a little more aware of this as a result of this tragic suicide.
Governor, I want to ask you one final question here, and it's so much to go over, but based on everything we've talked about, it's kind of leading to this question, and we'll take everybody at their word for the time being until we find out otherwise, but with the suicides, with the scandals, with the indictments, with officials, former Speaker of the House householder being incarcerated, with the former Chief of Staff of Mike DeWine knowing what went on, just not telling him, possibly, that's what we hear, all of this stuff, as you said, it all stops with the person who's at the head of the table, which in this case is Governor Mike DeWine. So if he doesn't know any of this, if this all plays out just like he said, he didn't know about the donations, he didn't know about what happened after the meal in 2018 in which this deal was made, his chief of staff did not tell him what apparently he should or could or would have needed to know, is this a man who should be in this position. Just knowing that, and those are the things we do know factually, that he, according to him, just didn't know anything about any of this. Is this a person who should be leading the state of Ohio?
Well, he was duly elected, and in that regard, yes. But I just find that I repeat myself, Scott. I find it difficult to believe that all of these things could be happening, and somehow the governor's out of the loop. That's just so hard to believe. Based on my own experience, I just cannot imagine my chief of staff, John Haisley, keeping such vital information from me. It could never have happened. And I mean, we talked about everything. You talked to your chief of staff about everything. And so that puzzles me. It really does. And I think we have yet to get a full explanation as to how that could have happened, or if it did happen, why it happened, and if it did happen, why have things not changed more than they have in terms of the people in positions of leadership within the administration.
Before we part ways here, Governor, just because of what you just said, and I think this is important, and you have given Mike DeWine a lot of praise. You did it earlier in this interview. You did it during the pandemic, parts of the pandemic. So this is not pile up on Mike DeWine, but just because you said, you have been in this position. You have had a chief of staff. You have been governor of Ohio, and you don't feel possibly that Mike DeWine is being forthcoming in what he's saying. Knowing what you know and knowing a lot of the players in this game, and I think this is important for the people of Ohio to know, do you believe that Governor DeWine is lying or not being honest to this point with his answers in regard to this?
Well, I think he's likely not being transparent. And, the governor may be trying, rather than to protect himself, he may be trying to protect others in his political world. Others who may have been more involved than he was directly. And I'm talking specifically about Lieutenant Governor John Houston. Because John Houston, from my personal experience, had a history of being very close to First Energy, being their advocate. When we passed the energy bill that was passed when I was governor, then Speaker of the House, Houston, was very vocal in his advocacy for the positions held by First Energy. So, I don't know. It's just impossible to know for sure without people being more forthcoming and transparent.
But at this point, you would guess that Governor DeWine and Lieutenant Governor Husted are not maybe being that forthcoming at this point and transparent.
Not as transparent as I would hope. I would love to see the governor and the lieutenant governor call a press conference and sit for as long as it took to let every reporter ask whatever questions they had about all of these matters, and for them to give straightforward, direct, honest answers. And I don't know that that's happened.
Would you guess that Lieutenant Governor Husted is involved in this in some way, for the reasons you just explained a few minutes ago?
Well, I don't want to be irresponsible and accuse people of wrongdoing, and I don't have any direct knowledge of that. But I can just say to you that from my experience, Lieutenant Governor Husted has a long history being an advocate for First Energy. And I'm assuming that he did that in advocating for Sam Randazzo to be appointed chair of the Public Utilities Commission. I feel like that is almost likely an absolute certainty that he was an advocate for Sam Randazzo being appointed the Public Utilities Commission chairman. And and I think going forward that is likely to be a political problem for the lieutenant governor.
And you think, would it have been, I mean, we've talked about Laurel Dawson here, but if that were true, the lieutenant governor or the lieutenant governor-elect, wouldn't that have been something he should have told Governor DeWine if Governor DeWine didn't know about any of this before this appointment?
Well, if he knew it, and it's my impression that the lieutenant governor probably, and this is just my impression, I have no evidence or proof, but it's my impression that the lieutenant governor advocated with Mike DeWine to make Sam Randazzo the chair of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio.
And this is definitely ongoing. The 68th governor of the great state of Ohio, Governor Ted Strickland. Governor Strickland, it's always a pleasure to talk with you and get your take on these things, and I think it will continue to go on. This certainly doesn't have an end in sight anywhere soon.
Well, Scott, it's always good to talk with you, and I hope all your listeners out there have a good day. So enjoy talking with you.
Hey, thank you, Governor. Bye-bye. Governor Ted Strickland will be back in just a few minutes.
Place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.